natural things that have taken my breath away, caused me to perhaps get emotional, whether it's a mountain, sea coast, whatever it happens to be. And Lord, I can remember like it was yesterday, the first time that I had a chance to watch those presses printing. The Word of God, it just made me cry. Lord, there are many things that are competing for our time, our loyalty, our affection. But there's nothing so important as the Word of God and the souls of men. Lord, I want to pray for the services today. I want to pray for the McCall family. They said goodbye to Pastor McCall officially yesterday in his memorial service at Hillview Baptist Church. 82 years old, pastored for over 49 and a half years. What an amazing tribute and testament and memorial service that was. Lord, I want to pray for Susan's mom in California, that you'd be with her in a special way, be with the family as they pray and do what they can to minister to her. Lord, for those that are traveling or on vacation or not with us this morning, we pray you'd watch over them in a special way. Lord, on this Labor Day weekend, at least in Western New York, this is what we would normally consider our last day, our last weekend of summer before school begins. So, Lord, this is, for us, an important Sunday as well. Historically, we've looked at this day as a pro-life Sunday. But, Lord, I'd like to change that a little bit today and look at it as a Labor Day Sunday service. Be with us this morning. Guide us and direct us in a special way, we pray. Be with our children during their kids' class, we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This would be a good time to dismiss the children. Let me get myself a this morning, I'd like to dedicate this service to a local to global campaign. This is going to be a little bit different than you're used to, and I hope and pray it'll be just as meaningful and perhaps just as convicting for us. Good question. Eric asked me if it was on. No, it wasn't. Minor detail, but yet it is major. Look at that. When it's on, it works. There are a multitude of passages of Scripture that we could use to remind us of what we have in Christ and what Christ would expect of us with such an incredible treasure that we have. As I was reading through my normal reading, I came across this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, "Awake to righteousness, and sin not. Now that would be enough. I mean, that's what the Apostle Paul is usually exhorting churches and believers, and he's trying to encourage us to live a holy life. However, he is not suggesting, he is demanding that we remember that our story, our testimony, the lips that we speak from the heart in which God uses us to serve Him and to serve others is critical for this task. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And we can be ashamed of many things. And that's what our conscience is there for. And believe it or not, it's one of those internal things. It's factory equipped. We have a conscience. And if your conscience is still working, you can feel guilty. You can blush. You don't even need makeup to blush. And you can do all these things that God equipped you with. But God is reminding us that those that are without Christ are dying and going to hell. And I can't tell you the research of what's taking place in our own country, what a mission field this is, and how secular the generations are coming that know not the Lord. The fastest growing religious category in America is titled N-O-N-E. Religious affiliation, none. It's our fastest growing religious population in America. So I'd like to this morning focus on our responsibility as a local church. Let me give this a brief introduction. We'll go to the next slide. Each human being is born into this world estranged or alienated or distanced from God. Therefore, the spirit of man is cut off from the spiritual life of God. The heart of man is lost. The spiritual ingredients for its recovery and revival are found in the Word of God and in the Spirit of God. So the fathers and mothers of this world wander aimlessly. Grandfathers and grandmothers, aunts and uncles starve and search for spiritual fulfillment and meaning. Children are left to navigate a world of lies, deception, amusement, and distraction, all the while drifting further and further from the God of salvation. Behind and beneath it all is a global conspiracy empowered by the demons of the underworld. And to find light and hope and relief seems to be an endless journey of frustration. For some of us, you were fortunate enough to be raised and nurtured under the banner and under the umbrella of biblical truth. For others of us, we were exposed to the world and all of its demonic influences, players, and institutions. Therefore, the majority of people have not the knowledge of God. The devil and his angels even remove the seed of the Word of God that might be sown in an individual's heart, snatch it away. For those of us that are born again, for those of us that are saved by the blood of the Lamb, for those of us that are followers of Christ Jesus, we have a mission and we have a commandment. We are to be salt and light to a dying world. So we have a mission, we have an assignment, and we're to be salt and light to the world. You've all seen that, right? Matthew 5, verse 14, 15, and 16 says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now let me just pause there for a minute, because some people use that passage of Scripture as their roadmap for evangelism. What I mean by that is they beam. They beam Jesus by their lifestyle, by their good works. They don't say anything about Jesus. They just beam. Because they're the light of the world. So in their theology, in their mentality, in their way of doing soul winning, what are you doing? I'm beaming. Beaming what? The love of God. So this idea of sharing the hope of the gospel that you have with others tends to take what we would call controversial contours when we discuss what is our role and what is our mission. You might not be able to see that as well as I hoped, but inside of there, right there, is Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So if you look at the back of our bulletin, probably for the last 15, 16, 17 years I've been here, we have our local to global opportunities. And we have a list of the missionaries that we support that are either local or global in their focus and in their outreach. Now, this has to be understood in context, because you don't have to go to Ethiopia to talk to an Ethiopian. We have a dear couple right here. She's from Rwanda and Mangie's from Ethiopia. You don't have to go all the way there. We have a missionary we support on the back wall who knows how to speak some languages, and he's actually working in New York City as a computer repair guy, and he's ministering to Nepali people. He was in Nepal. He knows how to speak their language fluently. The guy's from West Seneca. I don't know how people from West Seneca learn how to speak so many languages, but they do. He's in New York City with his family, was a missionary in Nepal, but now he's a missionary to Nepali people in the Big Apple. You see, you don't necessarily have to be there to do this kind of work. We have a neighbor down the street. Kevin went to Chicago. He was transferred through Southwest Airlines, and his mom and dad live in his house. Vietnamese. So we met Kevin. We met his parents. Kevin left town, and now we're ministering to Kevin's parents. I don't speak Vietnamese, and they don't speak English. But we do all the sign language we can. We noticed that, anyway, we found out that his dad went to the hospital and couldn't figure out what was going on. And I finally rapped on the door, and the dad came to the door, and I asked him how he was doing. And we were trying to do the sign language thing. And he said, oh. He went into the house. He came out of the house with a folder. Millard Fillmore Suburban Hospital. On the left side, Vietnamese. On the right side, English. He handed me the folder. Because he couldn't explain to me what happened. But because Cindy and I have spent enough time caring for them, he must have felt comfortable enough to show me his medical record and what he had gone through and so on. So you don't necessarily have to go 10,000 miles, but you might have to go 10 feet, 10 yards in order to obey the Lord. You're familiar with Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now we look at that passage of Scripture and we focus on the word witness and we focus on all the places God wants us to go. And that's good and that's what we ought to do. But let me remind you that that word witness is the word for martyr. The word martyr means to die. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's not easy sharing the gospel with other people. In other words, the devil wants to convince you, and your humanity wants you to be convinced they're good, they're okay, God's not speaking to you. This is not your job. This is not your responsibility. This is not your rodeo. Let somebody else do it, like the pastor or evangelists or missionaries. Not so. So the Bible says, be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. Well, obviously this was written to the Jewish believers at that time in Jerusalem. So this was their home. So God is commanding us to begin there in our home, whether it's our home or within our home vicinity, that's where we are to begin. Unfortunately, most people, when they feel like God wants to use them, it's so much easier to pass out a tract on Clinton and Main Street in Rochester or some place to perfect strangers in O'Hare Airport where people will never see you again than to witness to your aunt and your uncle or people in your street where you live. So the Bible clearly says we are to begin there. And that prepares us for what God might have for us elsewhere. All of those frames back there are about missionaries. Like I said, some are in New York State, some are still in the United States, some are overseas. So God wants to use us, whether it's at work, on campus, at our corporation, or even at a family reunion. Now, you might not see all those. Forgive me. When I went from my Mac to my word process, things get kind of hairy and messed up a little bit. But our Jerusalem, as you can see there, is Lancaster, Depew, Clarence, Cheektowaga, Sloan, Alden, Alma, Buffalo, Akron, Kenmore, Tonawanda, Williamsville, Hamburg, Blaisdell, East Aurora, Lackawanna, and Orchard Park. So that could be where you live, but not where I live. So my Jerusalem might be different than yours. That makes sense, right? Jane's Jerusalem is not mine. UB is not my Jerusalem. My Jerusalem is less than a mile from here, etc. You get the idea, right? Okay. Now, it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall be witnesses unto me both. Both, that means both. That means together. That means in tandem with. That means in association with. That means not one at the exclusion of the other. Oh, I'm going to go to Mongolia, so therefore I don't have to witness to anybody in my family. Wrong. Both. You do it simultaneously. And that's where I should say, I don't want to say the thrill comes in, but I want to say that's where that's where the big picture comes in. I mean, I can live in Lancaster, I can live a mile from here and be a missionary to Vietnam. Isn't that awesome? I think that's awesome. So I met a couple that just moved into a house a year earlier than Kevin, and they're flying the UN flag. Okay. They fly the UN flag. I said, hey, do you guys know your neighbor? Well, no, not really. Well, they're from Vietnam. Really? And I told him about his medical procedure and this, that, and the other thing. And I said, keep your eye out on them because they don't speak English and they might need, you know, assistance here or there or whatever. We need to get to know folks. So your Judea might be my Jerusalem and my Jerusalem might be your Judea, etc. I think you get the idea. So your Judea and your Samaria might be your city, might be your county, might be your state, might be your nation. And we could talk all about that. We could talk about Buffalo. We could talk about Erie County. We could talk about the state of confusion. I'm sorry, New York State. When I'm on the phone with people from other states, they ask me, what state are you from? I usually say the state of confusion. And they laugh. So this is our Judea and our Samaria. Basically what I mean by that is we share the same language. We share basically the same culture. I mean, in the States, I understand Louisiana and Seattle. They're not the same, right? Kansas and Connecticut, not the same. Yes. And we have different nuances of this, that, and the other thing. But that's not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about going to the uttermost. When we're talking about the uttermost, basically we're talking about what we're totally unprepared for, or what we might say totally uncomfortable with, because when we talk about the uttermost, we're talking about crossing language barriers. Edie, we haven't sang a Spanish song in weeks. It was good. It was good to be able to do that again. It's about crossing cultural barriers as well. When we're talking about the uttermost, and we're talking about unreached people groups. We're also talking about crossing the street. Because some of us don't do that. Before you cross the world, God wants to know if you're willing to go across the street. So our goal, our campaign, really for the rest of this year, is to get the gospel to the world. Now it says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, a passage you're very, very familiar with, Jesus said to his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we're going to look at that and what our responsibility is for that. Now, sometimes we can come up with things, or people can come up with things that help us understand a particular word by using what we might call an acronym. An acronym is using the letters of that particular word to describe or define what the word actually is. Now, we could spend years studying what the Bible means by the gospel. And we'll go to a passage of scripture which gives us a very good definition. But here is an acronym from a ministry called CourageousChristianFather.com.
or what you can see up there, dare to share. So he put the gospel this way. The gospel is God created us to be with him for G. O represents our sins separate us from God, Romans 3:23. S, sins cannot be removed by good deeds, Romans 5:8. P, paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again, Romans 5:8. E, everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life, John 3:16. And L, for gospel, life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. Here's another acronym. God, G, O, offers, S, sinful, P, people, eternal life. Straight to the point. God offers sinful people eternal life. Another acronym. God's only Son provides everlasting life. So we are to preach the gospel. What does the Bible say the gospel is? Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to what?" Pause. Let me ask you a question. In 40, 50 AD, when Paul was writing this, what did he mean by the word scriptures? He meant the Old Testament. Where was the Old Testament then? In the temple. Did they have a copy of it? Did they have Moses' tables of stone? No. What did they have? Anybody know? Scrolls. The originals? The originals. The originals would have been 3,000 years old. What did they have? Copies of the originals. So Paul said, according to the scriptures. So the question is, what scriptures? Whose version of the scriptures? What do you have in your hand? You have a translation of what scriptures? That's the question. Do you have the scriptures that were received by the early church or not? In the King James Bible, we have the scriptures that were received by the church. That's why it's called the received text or the Textus Receptus. So our English was translated from that set of scriptures. So when Paul said, according to the scriptures, the gospel is so entwined with the Word of God that you can't get saved without the Word of God and the seed of the Word of God transforming your life. That's why the Word of God is the most attacked thing on earth. He continues, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. Is there a period there? No. According to the scriptures. So he's basing the entire gospel upon the foundation of the Word of God. And that's what we need to share with people in order for them to understand the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How do you explain that to someone without Scripture? You can't. You can't. So, with that said, we're going to talk about our local to global campaign for this year. There's a diagram of New York State with all the various counties of New York State and the county that we live in. Unless you're traveling or visiting, all of us here currently are living in Erie County, unless you're from New Jersey. Nick, where are you from in New Jersey?
Kind of right by Newark, New Jersey.
I'm sorry. What's the name of the town?
Kenilworth.
Okay. Across on the other side of the river, right? Yeah. I'll be nice. Yes. So here we are in Erie County, and here we are in Erie County. That right there, can anybody guess what that is? Very good. Lancaster right there. Okay. So, in Erie County, we have all of these places. Williamsville, Alden, Angola, Blaisdell, Cheektowaga, Depew, East Aurora. What's that? Seven. Where's seven? Farnham. What's it called, Vic? Gowanda, Hamburg, Lackawanna, Kenmore, Lancaster, North Collins, Orchard Park, Sloan, Springville, Tonawanda, Akron. Alden, sorry. Sorry, Dave. So when we talk about local to global, or Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all of this works in the gospel commandment that God has given to us. Whoops. So we have surrounding the Lancaster area, as you know, all the towns, Clarence, Alden, Marilla, Elma, Cheektowaga, Williams, Amherst, etc. So here is the Lancaster area, and I decided to now think of your home street, okay? And I decided to throw something in there that you haven't ever seen before. My wife has seen it before. My son has seen it before, but you have not. So this is my home street where I was born and I grew up on Long Island. It's called Massapequa Park, and right there is called Harding Street. And that's where I grew up. McKenna Elementary School is the school that I went to, and this is a place called Massapequa Park down on Long Island. So we have a home street, whether it's St. John's Street, whether it's Bridal Path Lane, whatever it happens to be, Elm Street, St. Charles Street, Eileen Court. Is it St. Charles? Eric? What's your street again? David, sorry. So God is commanding us, directing us to begin at the most familiar place and to spread out from there, to present the gospel to those that need to be saved. Why evangelize? God commanded us to. And had we not been evangelized, we would be lost, undone, on our way to hell. So God's not going to use angels. God's not going to use clouds to spell the gospel in the sky, even though He has objects in the heavens that he can use for what we might call natural revelation. But God is asking us to go because he is not willing, according to 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that's his desire. Now, this is really where I guess the controversy lies in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the New Testament church, how do we do this? This is just a smattering. I decided last night to go on the webpage, Got Questions. Anybody familiar with that? One person, two people. So I'm not saying it's your definitive divine Baptist place to go, but if you have biblical questions, it's a good place to start. Obviously, the Bible's all you need, but I decided to type in evangelism and the Great Commission. Well, one thing led to another, which led to another, which led to another, and I basically had 45 different articles that came up to 75 pages by the time I was done copying and pasting. But what I found by reading all of these articles were these things that I knew, but I decided these are various approaches, these are various methods, these are various avenues that people will use, Christians will use, to get the gospel to somebody else. Some people will use friendship evangelism. Some people pass out tracts. Some people go door to door. Some people do street preaching. Some people use lawn signs. Some people go visiting. Some people do servant evangelism. Some people invite people to come to church as their way to evangelize others. Believe it or not, there are still things called tent meetings. There is the internet. There is literature distribution, and there are all kinds of mailings that are available for us. So you say, Pastor, which is the right one? That's a good question. Which is the biblical one? That's another good question. And I'm not to suggest that any of those are right or any of those are wrong, but what we could say is that all of them could probably be used in a certain situation, in a certain scenario, because Jesus probably used all of those. You say, well, he didn't use the internet. He didn't have to. He was God. And they did censor him too. So let's take a minute and let's look at how this is going to affect us personally. So here's a picture of our John's and Romans booklets. Back in February, we have been doing enough John's and Romans to go around the world that I thought it would be really a good idea if we start doing some John's and Romans in English that we can use in our own Jerusalem. We're sending them to the uttermost. We're sending them in Spanish and Portuguese and all kind of other languages. Why not reach our own Jerusalem? So as you know, we did 5,000 of these English John's and Romans here in our church in February. And our desire, our goal, is to not leave them in boxes, but we've been spreading them out on the round table ever since March, ever since the end of February. And I would dare say that we've probably gotten rid of 300 or 400 or 500 of them already. Some of you take them when you leave, some of you pass them out. And inside of these, not only do we have the Gospel of John and the book of Romans, But this is a, what they would call a marked edition, where if somebody wants to know about a particular subject, they can go there by particular page number or a particular reference. So as you go to the book of John, it begins on the bottom right corner by saying, go or turn to page 6. And it basically walks you through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn to this page, turn to page 10, turn to page 20. And then it takes you through the scriptures so that a person can understand what the Bible says about sin, about the incarnation of God through Christ, what the price of redemption was and still is, and how a person can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Not only that, in the back of the booklet is the Romans Road, a gospel track illustrated so somebody can go through that particular track and find out what the Bible says about being saved. On the inside cover, it says, God is able to meet all of life's needs. Listed below are some of the situations we face in life and God's answers for them. And it goes through a dozen or more specific challenges that people have in their day-to-day life. And it also says, if you have any questions about this, call our church number. On the back, it says, the Bible is unlike any other book you have read before. And then it talks about answers to questions that people have had throughout the centuries. Where did the world come from? Who is Jesus? Is there life after death? And so forth. And it gives all of the references that are found in this booklet. Now, if you've been here any length of time, you also understand that the front and the back is our church flyer. This is the flyer that we had made up by Bearing Precious Seed. And we would pass these out to new guests. This is our info sheet, is what we would say. So I called Milford, Ohio, and I said, hey, Tim, could you take our flyer, the one that you made for us, and repurpose it into a cover for Bearing Precious Seed, Johns and Romans? Oh, yeah, that'll take a minute, maybe a few, but it shouldn't be hard. So now we have our invitational flyer, our info flyer about our church that we can pass out, as many of you have already done. And as soon as they open the inside cover, realize, wow, this is really valuable. Now, some people might not think so, but our job is to get that to them. So you see that this particular pamphlet, this booklet, is in a door knocker bag, a protective plastic bag that has holes in it, that when put in here properly, that if there was a place to put this, you could hang it. Not all doors have a place that you can hang stuff from, because there are things called storm doors. And they have these push button things, and you open the storm door and the doorknob is hidden. Anyway, as you can see, this is pretty attractive. It will get somebody's attention if they come home someplace and they see that on their door. We'll get to all the things you can't do in a minute. All right. So each year, FBBC collates Johns and Romans to be shipped all over the world. Many times, these projects are done in languages that we cannot speak. And we just look at them, and we make them, we cut them, we give our money, but they don't necessarily help us. In 2022, we incorporated 5,000 English booklets with custom covers for our local community. Now, when my wife and I and our family went to our home church in Rochester, it wasn't around the corner. It took us 20 to 25 minutes to drive there. So we lived in the southwest portion of Rochester, and we drove to Greece. It wasn't a walk-up church, unless obviously you lived in the neighborhood. You could walk to the church. This is not a walk-in church, unless you live there or on Impala. Some churches are walk-up churches. Prospect Avenue was a walk-up church. There are some churches that are like that. This isn't. This is a drive-to church, because I don't think anybody walked here this morning. Cindy and I could have. Like I said, it's less than a mile. The cooks could walk, but it's longer for them. It's about a mile and a half for them. What I'm trying to say is, for all of Erie County, this is appropriate. Because this is in driving distance, even if you lived on Grand Island. Stephen doesn't live far from the bridge in Tonawanda, but he drives here. Dave and Susan drive at least 15 minutes from Alden. And we could talk all about, Mangy and his wife come from the west side, from the lakeshore. They have a trip. But what I'm saying is, it's not Lancaster only. And I think once they turn around and they see where it's located, they can say, oh, I know where Lancaster is. I've been there once. And we could start canvassing our neighborhoods. So what is our goal? What is our commitment? What would I like as a pastor for us to do? I would like each person or each family, household, to take one bag inside here. There are 12 Johns and Romans. The only reason why I selected 12 is because it's a biblical number. And I know it's going to make all the math crazy. So after this initial push, the bags will be probably 10. But the initial push is I want 12 to be given out to each household, as well as in each bag, there are 12 bags for the gospel booklets to go inside of. So these are your door hanging bags. Okay? So I'd like to, for the month of September, while the weather is still good, to go to 12 neighbors or 12 apartments and to directly place those gospel booklets, either on the doorknob, if you can. If you can't, put it on the side right there by the door. Obviously, the plastic is to protect it from the weather, and they can see right through it what it is and what it's about. Now, I understand this is going to create a lot of questions, but let me just do a few more slides, and then we can hopefully answer questions. So we have 12 booklets per bag, 12 clear bags that everybody should come and get. And I think what we need to also talk about is where they're placed. Like I said, there are some doors. This is the children's wing by the command center, the double doors, and that hangs really nicely there. But again, some doors, it's not going to work very well. You might have to actually place it on the floor. I also suggest that you do some record keeping. What I mean by that is, when Cindy and I were living in our city house in Rochester, I realized that when the Jehovah's Witnesses came by, somebody had a record. They were keeping track of where they were, what the house numbers were, and how the response was about their visit. We were blackballed. Most Bible-believing Christians are to Jehovah's Witnesses. What that means by being blackballed is don't go back there again because they're a pain in the neck. They're not listening. They don't want any. And they're actually going to argue with you. You're going to give them the truth. So what I'm trying to say is it would be good for you to have some kind of a record to say, I passed out all 12 of them. To who? Oh, I don't know. No, we would like to know so that when we might do Charlene Street in the month of September, we don't have to go to all the houses that Charlene's already been to. That makes sense, right? Or if you want to go in that neighborhood where the pastor lives, why do Bridal Path Lane? We've already got it covered. Makes sense, right? You can write down, no one home. You can write down, they slammed the door in my face. Whatever you want. But that's how it's going to be. So keep a record of who has it and how that went. You might encounter people, because there are some people that open their doors. You might be too afraid to knock on the door or ring the bell. It doesn't matter. They already know you're there. How do they know? Ring. They've got those door things with all the cameras and sensors, and they might be in an architect's office in downtown and they know you're on their doorstep. So we need to do some record keeping. But what are the personal ingredients? None of this can be done without prayer. Jason talked about he has a neighbor boy that rings but doesn't leave. He gave it a special name last week where you ring and you run away. What was that called? Ding dong ditch. Meaning you ring the bell and you run as fast as you can. Ding dong ditch. However, because this is spiritual warfare, and this is talking about the souls of men and women and boys and girls, you must pray. You must pray for the material. You must pray for yourself. And you must pray for those that you'll be passing it out to. Second, you must know something. At least look through the booklet. Do what it says. Go to page 6. Go to page 10. Go to page 12. At least go through the gospel that they provide. It's a self-directed gospel tract. So do it. Read the Romans Road at the end so you know what it says. Read the inside cover, the different topics that are covered. Read the back cover, what questions are covered. Because invariably, you're going to, believe it or not, have a conversation with a real live person. Therefore, you also need to have a story. The story is your story. Nobody else can have your story. We call it a testimony. Now, I said this the last time I talked about this. I can, as a pastor, go to a door and say, you know, as a pastor, I think of life this way. From a spiritual perspective, from a psychological perspective, and lastly, from a physical perspective. Now, you, on the other hand, might look at life the opposite way, physically, psychologically, spiritually. But then I could say, you know, at the end of the day, the center is still the same. No matter which direction you come from, the heart is still at the center. And this booklet is all about the heart. Period. That's all I have to say. That's three sentences. Now, they might not give you time for three sentences, but think of something to say if you have the opportunity to say something. Hi. Hi. I live on 8 Bridal Path Lane. Oh, right down the street. Yeah. Our church is passing out these booklets. We'd like to leave you with one. Oh, you know, I was thinking about going to church. And I don't know where to go. Thank you very much. It would be good to know that your neighbors know that you're a neighbor, that you're not a ding-dong ditch person. Oh, I live on 14 David. Oh, right down the street. Yep. This is where I go to church. We're passing these out to all of our folks. Whatever you come up with your line. Next. Fourth, you have to have a right heart. Your heart has to be right. You say, Pastor, I've never done anything like this in my whole life. God will help you. God will empower you. But I'm afraid. I understand. What does the Bible say about fear? Lots of things. But God can overcome your fear. And lastly, the whole purpose of this is for us to be obedient. Because people are dying and going to hell. And we have 5,000 of these. Do you know how many houses there are in Lancaster? 17,000. Just in Lancaster. 17,000 homes. Doors. So we're going to have to do another project of 10,000 more English. What are we going to do without you? How are we going to do them without you? You can fly up in November. We'll fly you back. Bring your friends. All right. So the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I have no idea what the percentages would be. However, if we passed out 17,000 of these booklets and 1% responded, Jim, what would that be? 1% is 17,000. 170. We wouldn't have room in the church. There's not enough chairs here. That's 170 people. Jim's an investment banker, so I figured I'd ask him. This wasn't a trick question. 170 people, if 1% said, I'm going to try that. 1%. We have the tools. We have what I believe to be is one of the most incredible pieces of literature that we can pass out. So, let us arise and go forth, bearing precious seed. Questions? Cindy. Correct.
And if they have a sign on their porch by their door, no soliciting, you need to honor and respect that.
Right.
It would be us soliciting.
Right. Because as soon as you violate that, we're going to get a phone call at the church. And they might call the authorities. Okay. Any other questions? Jay?
Thank you.
Could you think of anybody that would deny Melanie? So Jason goes with his two kids and his wife, right? That's safe. He's going to go to the door with the two kids and the wife. And Melanie, 3-year-old, is going to say, "Would you take this, please?" "Oh, sure, honey. What is that?" There's your open door. There's your open door. Kids love this. Kids are fearless. They're fearless. They have nothing to fear. And it would make a perfect segue into having a little conversation. No, sir. Today. Tomorrow. No, this is not Halloween stuff. In our home, we give out gospel literature when the kids come for candy in October. And we give candy as well. But our job as a church is to get the gospel out. And that's what our goal is for this month. Obviously, it's not going to stop after 12. But I think it would be good if all of us participate. For some of us, it's going to get us out of our comfort zone. And you're probably not going to be able to hide as a Christian anymore, if you are. If you're not, they're going to know exactly who you are. And this is where I go to church. And you're welcome. Any other questions? Okay, this is kind of like Mother's Day or Father's Day. When I ask you to come forward and get your gifts, that's what this is. Yes. When you pick up your bag of booklets, please pick up a bag of door hangers. I probably should have put these in there, but I didn't. If you want to come up here and do that for me, that's fine. But you need a bag of 12 gospel booklets and a bag of bags.
And when you get your bag of booklets, open it up and put the plastic bags in there, then you won't lose
them. Isn't that smart? So let's pray. Lord, we come to you as a church family with guests and friends and visitors as well, knowing that the greatest gift is the gift of eternal life. A priceless gift that you gave. And Lord, for those of us that have that gift, the blessed hope, the full assurance that heaven is our home, Lord, we have an opportunity to do more evangelistic work than what we're currently doing. And Lord, I pray that our church family would participate, that you would give us courage and strength to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to have the center aisle is the aisle that you come up on. And then you'll pass through that table there. I'll stand over there and fill up the areas. I'm going to have this side come up first. This side will come up last. If you don't feel comfortable doing that, or if you're not going to do that, then please don't take the booklets and take them home and say, I have no intention of doing this. We need the material. So if you're willing to do it, we'd love to have you participate with us. Okay? And as soon as we're done passing these out,